So the film you're about to see was filmed last April when the Pacifica Radio Archives traveled across country for as part of the National Endowment for the Arts grant and the Recording Academy Grammy Foundation grant. What is new about this is that we've actually inserted audio that is was preserved by those grants. So you'll hear audio of Bob Dylan and Joan Baez or a bunch of other people that represent the content of the Pacifica Radio Archives. The collection is over 50,000 recordings representing Pacifica's broadcast history. Are we going? All right, anytime. All right, so we'll go to the... We'll do this.
We really thought many of our classic programs were lost forever. Our prize restoration is this classic recording of Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Here's what the recording sounded like before the baking. And here is what it sounds like now.
This year, the Pacifica Radio Archives traveled across America greeting new audiences, scholars, students of higher learning. Community radio producers and listeners were introduced to the sound of history. We called it the Save Our Sounds 2005 American Tour. The SOS Tour has four main goals: tape preservation, community outreach, environmental education, and increased access. Three members of the Pacifica Radio Archives staff and 240 master recordings journeyed across the country from the archives offices in North Hollywood to George Blood Safe Sound Archive in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
If I had some education to give me a decent start, I might have been a doctor or a master in the arts.
The first goal was tape preservation. The archives team hand-carried hundreds of one-of-a-kind recordings across the country to donate to institutions and in order to save some of the more fragile reels. George Blood, the founder of the Safe Sound Archive, worked with us earlier this year to save a valuable Allen Ginsberg recording.
All archives have a value. What's particular about Pacifica isn't that because you're interested in the far left that there's going to be lots of stuff there or that you have interest in California, but that there's a lot of material about a lot of historically significant people, significant politically, significant culturally, in a single repository.
The biggest problem with something like Azimuth is somebody hears the tape and it sounds a little, sounds not right, and it's just old.
Right, exactly.
That's usually the biggest problem.
So here we go. This is the digitizing of the original 1956 reading of Allen Ginsberg, Howl.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient, shuddering connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night, who poverty and tatters and hollow-eyed and high sat up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats floating across the tops of cities contemplating jazz.
The second goal was community outreach. En route from California to Philadelphia, the crew stopped to introduce Pacifica affiliate stations to the archive's collection and its mission.
Welcome back to the microphones here in the northern part of the state.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having us, Philip.
Right. This really is the culmination of probably the past 4 years of applying for grants, assessing what we needed to do, learning what we needed to do, getting some training, and then selecting tapes for special preservation. And the Safe Sound Archive outside of Philadelphia is one of the top houses in preservation. And so through grants from the NEA and the Recording Academy and from donations from listeners from KPFA and the rest of the Pacific Network during our Pacifica Fund Drive once a year, we've allowed ourselves to take 170 tapes this time, and we've already preserved 40 from the first trip. That's sort of like the culmination of all that process of getting the money to get these materials transferred to digital format, and then we can listen to them in their pristine elements.
So, Mark, how many total recordings are there in the archive?
Well, we actually have probably over 50,000 titles, and in actuality, I don't think we have to remind the KPFA audience that the entire collection really started here in 1949 when Lou Hill went on the air, and many of these tapes are suffering from really the ravages of time, and
as we all are.
Right.
Exactly. Like I'm on. Feeling old this morning, Philip.
But the bottom line is we're building bridges between community radio stations across the country, and you're a very integral part of this community relationship, and we want to thank all of
the buildings and highways and cities at the break of dawn.
Our third goal was environmental education.
47 feet from our very first geocache, we're going to be planting a disc from Pacifica Radio Archives with the travel bug. It's about 445 feet that direction. Let's go find it.
Archives launched an environmental initiative that starts with the planting of Archives programs into geocache boxes across the country.
Geo Glee and Judy Berry, CD23, Save the Planet.
Save the planet, ladies and gentlemen. Stop polluting, stop destroying, let's start staring.
CDs featured recordings related to the preservation of the environment and will be found by geocachers and make their own trips across the country informing listeners as they go. The tour took us to places and communities that reminded us of some of the programs we have recently preserved, like this one.
On Friday night, December 12th, a benefit performance was held for the Indians on Alcatraz in Stanford University's Memorial Chapel. The chapel was crowded with the supporters of the Alcatraz Project who had come to hear Malvina Reynolds and Buffy St. Marie sing for a cause to which both are deeply committed.
It was Pelican Island when the bay was clean. The birds on the flyway used to make the scene. And the rock was green. Alcatraz, we don't need that plastic jazz. Give us the island the way it was when the Indians had their day. Sheriff, he told the deputy, said, I'll go out and bring me Lazarus. He said, I'll go out and bring me Lazarus. bring him dead or alive.
Wednesday, March 28th, 4 a.m., at the Three Mile Island Nuclear Reactor. The Susquehanna River flowed past Three Mile Island and the dairy farms nearby. 12 miles away in Pennsylvania's capital, Harrisburg, most of the city slept peacefully. Suddenly, something went wrong. All the details aren't in yet, but it appears a pump in the Three Mile Island reactor's cooling system broke down. And the problems didn't end there.
Our fourth and final goal was increasing the access to these recordings.
The recordings that we brought to for preservation from the archive, we just dropped them off at the Safe Sound Archive in Chestnut Hill.
Yes.
So there was 100.
To make the archive's collection more available to academia, the crew visited elected universities, Temple, Howard, Naropa, and the universities of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and donated copies of significant recordings.
Yeah, we have Bayard Rustin and James Baldwin in debate.
Wow, that's incredible.
So, we have recordings of W.E.B. Du Bois.
Well,
when he spoke about...
And my hero, Paul Robeson.
And your hero, Paul Robeson.
Again, when I was a little boy in Princeton, New Jersey. Strange to say. Technically, this is the shaping of my views. A Negro boy born in Princeton, New Jersey, in a college town where the students mainly came from the Deep South. You know, Princeton and Princeton, Harvard, and Yale was the sort of the Southern University of the North, whether you know that or not. And so I grew up in Jersey in a rather Southern atmosphere. And my father was a minister, and I was shaped against that background. Technically, I entered the sort of the arena in the United States of fighting for social justice for my people in a concert, when I was in a concert in St. Louis in 1947 in the Post-Dispatch, where I was singing at the Kiel Auditorium.
Tell us what you think. What's your impression of having the audio of so many people that you have the books of? Do you think it makes a difference for people to be able to come in here and be able to hear the voices of these people?
Of course, because, you know, you would have to go to the National Archives, you know, or Library of Congress. You know, they know it for their oral history collection. And oral history is very, very important. Just to hear the word, you could read something in the book. I mean, I've written books, and Dr. Malefisante did, written books, but to hear these words for stimulation, to hear a voice of Robeson or Rustin or James Baldwin, I mean, it's incredible. I started a program.
On the road back west, we explored new places, met new people, and continued sharing the treasure that is the Pacifica Radio Archives. One of our last stops was in Boulder, Colorado. We presented rare recordings of Allen Ginsberg, Dylan Thomas, James Baldwin, and many more to the Allen Ginsberg Library at Naropa University. We joined Pacifica affiliate station KGNU during their on-air fun drive, broadcasting the voices of Alice B. Toklas, Dylan Thomas, Audre Lorde, and Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And finally, since our journey began, the Pacifica Radio Archives can boast that thousands of new listeners have been introduced to American culture and history, as told by Pacifica Radio, where public and independent broadcasting began.
Was down in Mississippi not so long ago, when a young boy from Chicago town
So while we switch over to another part of the presentation that will show you more about what our projects are coming up and what we've done with some of the materials since that trip, if anybody has any questions for the moment, I'd be glad to answer them. Oh, we're already up and running. How about that? Question or two? All right. It's just audio. Oh, hey, Dave. Just about the video. Okay, we'll move on. This will be interactive. Yes, hey, Ernesto. When can you get what? Oh, well, DVDs are available. We'll send them. Right, exactly. So what I wanted to do now is try to show you some visuals and give you another feel of, I think the theme of the show is, how does the archives go beyond Pacifica's realm? beyond Pacifica's world. We've heard time and time again from historians and scholars and people who are interested in the content of the archives that it really isn't about Pacifica. This collection that Pacifica created and was grown and born and fostered by the listener sponsorship really is about what is beyond Pacifica. We saw it across country with universities. Now we want to take that to the next level, and that's what we're going to try to show you next. These are some wonderful photographs from Pacifica's past that we happen to have in the archive. Our priorities are preservation and access, services to the stations, premium development, special broadcasts, special programs, development of our own funding. How does the archive fund this overwhelming job? The Pacifica Foundation, the stations, the percentage of fundraising cannot pay for what we need to do. So this is another, how do we reach out beyond Pacifica world to get more money in, more revenue generated, and make the programs accessible. Again, outreach. Outreach, outreach, outreach beyond Pacifica's world to make people aware of the material that is so valuable to us as progressives. All right, so overall summary, in the second quarter, we've gone through phase three of the Preservation and Access Project, improved services to the Pacifica stations and affiliates. We forecast meeting budget requirements provided. National office can help offset some shortfalls with a direct mail campaign and however they make their money. PRA staff provided 15 new compilation premium packages for Pacifica Station and affiliate station fund drives focusing on Black History Month. Newly digitized archival programs were distributed to the network via audio port with positive results focusing on Black History Month and Women's History Month. A proposal to the National Endowment for the Arts 2006 Access to Artistic Excellence Preservation Grant was completed and turned in. By the way, the video that you just saw was part of the final report to the National Endowment for the Arts and the Grammy Foundation because they paid for part of the grant for those recordings. They loved it. In February, staff met with Executive Director Greg Guma to introduce and discuss goals and objectives supporting the archives mission. And finally, Christopher Sprinkle is completion in production of a new archives radio series that we'll be distributing throughout the network and beyond. And we'll play a clip of that in just a moment. So that was sort of the thing on a whole. We'll play a little bit more. These are the programs that we distributed recently, just since the last time we saw. One of the new discoveries is Coretta Scott King speaking 3 weeks after Martin Luther King's assassination. I'll play a little bit of it for you now.
As many of you probably know, my husband had accepted an invitation to speak to you today. And had he been here, I am sure he would have lifted your hearts and spirits to new levels of understanding in his customary fashion. I would like to share with you some notes taken from my husband's pockets upon his death. I am sure he would have developed and delivered them in his usual eloquent and inspired fashion. I simply read them to you as he recorded them. And I quote, Ten Commandments on Vietnam. Thou shalt not believe in a military victory. Number two, thou shalt not believe in a political victory. Number three, thou shalt not believe that they, the Vietnamese, love us. Number four, thou shalt not believe that the Saigon government has the support of the people. Number five, thou shalt not believe that the majority of the South Vietnamese look upon the Viet Cong as terrorists. Number six, thou shalt not believe the figures of killed enemies or killed Americans. Number seven, thou shalt not believe that the generals know best. not believe that the enemy's victory means communism. Number 9, thou shalt not believe that the world supports the United States. Number 10, thou shalt not kill.
Curtis Scott King, late April 1968, a new discovery from the Pacifica Radio Archives when Curtis Scott King passed away. And we found this recording. We did our homework, called Stanford University and the King Papers Project, and found out that this is the only recorded copy of this speech. It also means that this recording was used at Stanford University for the memorial service for Curtis Scott King. Current projects we're working on in April, May, June, and July. The new series from Pacifica Radio Archives called From the Vault will start on April 15th on the 50th anniversary of Pacifica Radio. We'll be focusing on the origins of Lou Hill and Elsa Knight Thompson. We'll be providing two-minute PSAs on the anniversary from the Pacifica Radio Archives to the five Pacifica stations. We're going to be traveling to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference in Portland, Oregon, late in April. We'll be conducting a training workshop for the Youth Radio Conference on how to use archives as a resource, how to use archival material in telling new stories. And we'll be also giving them an assignment and tools to create a 15-minute piece to be inserted into the new archive series. So we're drawing youth into the archives and having them respond to the content. I'm very excited about how they see that. We'll be developing new premiums for fund drives. We'll be continuing with our preservation and access project funded by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Ford Foundation, and Pacifica Listeners. We'll be going to the UCLA Book Festival, carrying our recordings on literature and authors, you know, all that. War and Peace to a very large audience. We're also producing a Pete Seeger tribute program, not a memorial program, thank goodness. And we'll be releasing that. Luckily, we found some Pete Seeger material that is unreleased live recordings, and so we're working with Appleseed Records, who releases Pete Seeger's material, and we may get a new release record out of the archives. And a direct mail campaign to do some funding. So now I'm going to give you a little clip of the new Archives radio series.
In time past, many romantic feelings were associated with radio broadcasting, as with aviation or with motoring across the far western United States. Such memories have a certain literary appeal, no doubt, but they are also authentic.
That's the voice of Lewis Hill, founder of the Pacifica Radio Network. This is From the Vault Remixed, a weekly Pacifica Radio Archives program. Each week, we'll select a subject, sometimes state-specific, sometimes seemingly random, and we'll go through the Pacifica Radio Archives vault, the largest of its kind in the country, and pull out the best materials possible. And yes, remix them into something we hope you'll come to look forward to, set your watches by, or grab the whole family and listen. Listen to the power of radio. I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. This week, we're celebrating the 57th anniversary of the network Lewis Hill founded. But instead of a typical collage of all the great clips from Pacifica's past, we're looking specifically at the two people who most defined the network. The first, of course, is Lewis Hill, pacifist and conscientious objector and Pacifica founder. The second is Elsa Knight Thompson, one of the first women radio broadcasters, an award-winning journalist and famed interviewer. These two were the spirit of Pacifica for the network's first 20 years, and their spirits still guide the network. They shared a common belief, a fundamental belief that all opinions were entitled to an outlet, that everyone was entitled to a voice. Or, in the words of Elsa Knight Thompson herself,
Pacifica Foundation was conceived by a group of people who wished to contribute to the growth of an enlightened and peaceful society. They believed this could best be done not by conforming to any stated position, but by exploring and discussing the information, the concepts of individual awareness and responsibility, which make the democratic process tenable.
Pacifica Radio,
It's the oldest listener-sponsored radio in the United States, reaching from the San Francisco Bay Area and the metropolis of Los Angeles to the eastern cities of New York and Washington, D.C., and to the southwest city of Houston, Texas. The Noble Experiment began in 1949 in Berkeley, California, when KPFA first took to the airwaves, a new concept in broadcasting. It was called listener sponsorship and was the brainchild of Lewis Hill, a radio broadcaster and a Quaker who was intensely concerned with the strife between individuals and between nations in our modern society. He was aware that the arts can be a bridge of communication and believed that radio could become the medium for expression and for exploration into the conflicts in society. With a hard-working staff of four and with $15,000 in the bank, KPFA FM was born April 15, 1949.
That's a preview. Right, so I think most importantly that we've been doing, and I actually took Ursula's idea from the last board meeting, and to really let the people that we've been talking about speak to the board and to the Pacifica community themselves and tell you not only about the archives, they talk about the archives. What they aren't saying on this part is how important the affiliate program is to them.
Hi, Pacifica folks. This is Rob Lurie at WMNF Radio in Tampa.
Hi, this is Marty Derlin. I'm the station manager at KGNU in Boulder, Colorado.
This is Serge Tankian. I'm in System of a Down. I'm a writer and composer.
My name is Tom Connors, and I'm the curator of the National Public Broadcasting Archives at the University of Maryland.
My name is Veronica Selver, and I'm a documentary filmmaker in the Bay Area.
I'm Sally Kane, general manager at KVNF in Paonia, Colorado.
Calling all scholars. If you're a scholar of the civil rights movement in the United States, if you're a scholar of the feminist movement, if you're a scholar of the labor movement, if you're a scholar of the environmental movement, there is tons of material in the Pacifica Radio Archives for you to check out and for you to look at. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of activists and participants and intellectuals speaking over Pacifica Radio over the years.
I support the Pacifica Radio Archives because of the priceless, invaluable record of progressive political and cultural figures of the last 50-plus years. This material is available nowhere else. Every time we play it on KGNU, we get a huge response. And I just want to urge the Pacifica National Board and everyone out there listening to support the efforts of the Pacifica Radio Archives and understand its importance in our community radio world.
The Public Broadcasting Archives has had an informal relationship with the Pacifica Radio Archives since the early 1990s. And I can say that the work that the Pacifica Archives does is an inspiration to and a model for other public radio stations. Radio and television stations, commercial and non-commercial, are notorious for neglecting their histories. They worry about what will air tomorrow, not what aired yesterday. Pacifica recognizes the significance of its program history and is really a pioneer in the work of preserving that history.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is the treasure of the public airwaves since 1949, holding an amazing collection of live music such as Odetta, Paul Robeson, Bob Dylan from 1962, featured in the recent Martin Scorsese documentary, Phil Oakes, Miles Davis, Charles Mingus, and Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and countless others. All these recordings are on reel-to-reel tape, and many of these recordings are suffering from the ravages of time. We're working hard to restore these tapes, but our collection is large, and it costs money to do it.
Where else on Pete Seeger's birthday, the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots in New York, or on the death of Coretta Scott King, can you get an incredible staff to turn around and make available for download some of the rarest archival audio in the world? These archives are truly incredible.
This is a message to the Pacifica National Board from Howard Besser. I'm director of Moving Image Archiving and Preservation Program at New York University and also a professor of cinema studies here. I think that the Pacifica Radio Archive is really a national treasure. In terms of resources for history, for cultural studies, it's really unsurpassed for the last half of the 20th century.
The Pacifica Archives crew is on our speed dial. We met them on their Save Our Sound tour and recognized the brilliance and power of their work. In 2005, we invited the crew back to screen their film at our annual meeting. The response was tremendous. Our hope for the future? Save Our Sound tours the country and rivals StoryCorps. After all, you can't know the future if you don't know the past. Treasure your archives, crew. We certainly do.
A few years ago, I completed a film on the history of KPFA called KPFA on the Air. What drew me to the subject was, of course, being a KPFA listener for many years, but what motivated me equally was my awareness of and interest in the Pacifica Archives and the treasure trove it represents. The cultural and historical audio we used in the film, Linus Pauling debating Edward Teller, Dylan Thomas and Langston Hughes reading in studio, the dramatic civil rights reports from the South, to cite a few, revealed just the tip of the iceberg of the wonders of the Pacifica Archives. As the editor of Academy Award-nominated Berkeley in the 60s, access to the Pacifica Archives greatly enriched the documentary. Some scenes were built around the audio material we found in the archives. Ongoing access to the archives is vital to the work we do as documentary filmmakers. I urge you to consider the Pacifica Archives with the seriousness it deserves. Thank you.
I just want to give a big voice of support to everything the archive has done over the years. We use it mainly because we purchase programs that we turn around and use as premiums during our fund drives. And over the years, we purchased thousands of dollars worth of programming from the Pacifica Radio Archive. So we count on it, and I hope you don't do anything to cut it back. Thanks for everything, and thanks for keeping such an important collection of interviews and speeches and documentaries about the kinds of things that we all care about.
The things that I care about are being drowned out by the extreme swing to the right in this country right now. And we absolutely must preserve our, what I think of as being the left wing and the progressive heritage, so that all the voices for the people that formed me and my friends are there forever for everybody who wants to know about them.
I think it's important that we have the Pacifica Archives and this information to go back and to listen to these voices. There's a wealth of music and information, music by Buffy St. Marie from Alcatraz. It's just one of the few places that we actually have that recorded history. These predate Native radio stations. These predate American Indian Radio on satellite. So the work that's there was just being done by passionate people, and we can go back and hear that.
Hi, my name's Jay Kugelman, and I've been producing drama, literature, and cultural affairs for KPFK since the mid-70s. I've drawn heavily on the archives for many of these projects, including a week-long mythathon and supplemental programming for my week-long marathon reading of Lawrence Durrell's Alexandria Quartet. I even auditioned tapes from the archives back in the late 70s and early 80s, so I know what a gold mine they are and how important it is for them to be well annotated and kept in top-notch condition. As an armchair cultural historian, a generalist, a vanishing breed of English major with a love for music, film, and Pacifica history, you can bet I talk up the archives everywhere I go. Thanks.
I'm Ossie Davis.
I'm Ruby D. In the pages of the book by Herb Boyd, and on these...
All right, we'll move on a little bit quicker because I know we've got some hungry people. We do have a reception at the Figueroa Hotel right after this presentation. The Archives is sponsoring it. There'll be some cocktails and beverages, and it's open to the public, and there'll be some hors d'oeuvres as well. Yeah, we can go past that one. Again, Ossie Davis and Ruby D, this is a new book that was produced and released recently that included two CDs as a companion piece to the Civil Rights Movement. And Ruby D and Ossie Davis do narrate it. And these are the voices that they licensed for the audio piece, companion piece. So the archives is credited in the book, which is here if y'all want to take a look at it later on. There. All right, so part of the grant, this most recent National Endowment for the Arts grant, has been about taking the old folios and scanning them and making them searchable so that researchers and scholars can actually look at every hour from the very beginning. And we do have the very first folio from 1949, only 6 months after they went on the air. So we actually know what is on the air every hour on every station. So this is part of an effort to take those and digitize them beautifully like this. And then each page content, it will have an OC, what is called an OCR database, so that people can actually just put in the keyword, find out, and then what will happen is if we have the data, we have the recording, then we have, you know, duplicate pieces of data so that researchers can see it. So this is 1969, KPFK, February, January, 74, there's Nixon. What's inside these folios are amazing, too. Original artwork, essays by some really famous people. The National Endowment for the Arts was really very excited about this project. And, all right, we'll pass
Mr.
that.
Mr. Renoir, we're very...
We found some really great photographs of this.
Today.
So the elements coming together, this is one of them.
Over 30 films, I believe. This includes The Grand Illusion, which was cited by the critics at the 1958 Brussels International Exhibition as one of the world's five greatest films. Now, of course, every film critic, I suppose, has his favorite insofar as your work is concerned, but what is your favorite, your personally favorite film?
Well, I don't know. I'm not too much interested in films I made. I'm more interested in films I'm planning to do in the future.
I see.
Jean Renoir. Okay, so the National Board of Directors. I always come and we have a really great presentation. Everybody, no matter where you come from, have I found, agrees that the archives is something of a national treasure and that really we really must do something about it. Again, I don't think that the Pacifica Foundation in its current status can take care of the needs that we have. So we must do some outreach. And what practical things that the board can do for the Pacifica Radio Archives, rather than passing motions constantly and legislating the archives, is to, one, take a serious look at the next budget that's coming through to see what kind of things have been added. A cataloger, professional cataloger, is in this year's budget, but only in a three-month period. So in the next budget, it'll expand times four. So we'll look at those. What I also want to be sure that doesn't happen is that we vote a budget for the archives that takes food off the plate of somebody else that's in need. Free speech radio news, Spanish language programming, the affiliate programming. We have to go beyond Pacifica to find the funding for the archives. So you need to ensure that the development practices and the things that we're trying out are able to be fostered and nurtured. Support the Archives Committee, which had its first meeting a few days ago. It was a really great meeting. Everybody introduced themselves, and I think we have a great mission statement and something that they can really work on. Educational task force and a building campaign so that we can get a new building. Support PRA through station relations. Give information. Make sure that your stations are taking PRA programming. Make sure that your programmers know it's a resource. The affiliate stations, thank you for coming. Thank you very much. And support the PRA development activities. That's the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening to me and listening to what we have to do. And now you're free to do the rest of your meeting. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had a Q&A for a bit, right? Right. The Figaro Hotel is really just across the street and over one, sort of catty-cornered to the intersection, right on Olympic. So just in the back veranda in the bar, there should be some cocktails and some food. So please welcome. We are going to have some questions, Dave. Yeah, do we have time for any? All right. Okay. Oh, yes, and also tomorrow night, Saturday, at the same hotel, there'll be a dinner sponsored by KPFK, which is for invited guests. So work your thing and get an invitation. Yes, sir. Do you have a question?
Preferably not.
What is the official connection between the Foundation Pacifica and the archives? Is it a sister adjunct or what's the affiliation?
And the affiliation is that we are owned by the foundation. In other words, the archives is under the national office organizational chart structure. Yes, I guess these should be director questions, right? Yeah. All right, I'll get over here so everybody can see.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for that great presentation. I was really
happy to hear you highlight the role of the archives in developing premiums packages for the stations, and I was wondering if you could talk more about that, and particularly what the process is to develop a new package. If a station has a drive coming up and they really want to focus on a particular issue or theme or historical period, how can they work with you to develop that into a package that can help raise funds for the station?
The archive staff starts at each fund drive trying to find recordings that are relevant to things that are going on, War and Peace, or you know the NSA hearings or censorship or something like that, Black History Month, Women's History Month. But we also sort of open it up to programmers and staff at the stations to sort of do their own searches. The database collection is available online for you to research on your own. Pick some programs, contact the archive staff, and we'll either give you raw material on AudioPort, which is the standard way now. As long as you can download from AudioPort on your end, you're okay. And then you can either edit the package at the station level, or you can sort of like work with us, and we can probably put something together. But we have done that on a number of occasions with different stations. But because they're on a schedule that isn't the same all the time, some things go out of date relevance, like within weeks. And sometimes that we don't have the time. In other words, we'll develop something for WBAI, but KPFT was already done with their drive, so they didn't get a chance to use it. But we just do the best we can.
Thanks.
Don?
As Brian mentioned, the PNB has an archives committee. It met just a few nights ago.
Right,
it was
a right.
Very productive meeting. And two working groups or committees were formed, one on education, as you suggested, one on fundraising. I call it fundraising because capital campaign sounds like too big a challenge. So the reason I'm mentioning this, if there's anyone who would like to work on either of those two working groups, the educational working group or subcommittee, or the fundraising working group or subcommittee. Jane Jackson is back here from KPFK Berkeley and...
KPFA Berkeley.
Excuse me, KPFA. Did I say... I'm so used to saying KPFK. KPFA Berkeley, I'm on that committee. And then there are people here from the Education Committee as well. And we decided in that meeting that we would recruit from the community to help support the archives.
It's definitely going to take a village.
I was asked by Eva, for the purpose of the audio stream, if board members can identify themselves in their signal area when they speak, it'll help. And also, anybody listening, there's also a video stream available that you can get by going to kpfk.org.
Yeah,
and we're going to spend about 10 more minutes and then go to public comment.
Yeah, but there are some members who identify themselves, but they give the wrong station.
Brian, I have a question. This is Dave
Jane
Adelson
from WBAI in New York. No, I'm
this is Dave Adelson from KPFK. I guess I have the feeling, and this is no disrespect. I hope we'll talk about it, but I have the feeling of a kind of preserve through which guided tours are led, or certain curator qualified people are allowed in. And when I think of the term the vault, I think of things that are kept from people. And it's my hope that we can work out ways of licensing, and I hope you'll participate in the licensing discussion actively on Sunday, such that it's much more like a national park or a library where the levels of use go up exponentially, and not just by radio professionals, because there's a rising civic media of people. You know, if you go to Google Video, you see people not just producing raw content, but then sampling each other's content and making derivative works. And I guess it's my wish to see the contents that are in the vault in the hands of everybody in our communities as a tool to raise the consciousness of the people around them. And so I hope one of the things the Archives Committee is going to talk about is how to do that consistent with the institutional needs. But, you know, I think that a forward-looking approach to really making it, exponentially more available and accessed and used would be something that we could do a lot of fundraising around, and would really help us with a fundraising thing. So I just want to invite you to please be an active participant on Sunday if you can make it for the licensing discussion, because some of the things are going to go to that. Rob.
Thank you. This is Rob Robinson from WPFW in D.C. Brian, Pacifica really helped empower many of the movements that made our world, the civil rights movement, the free speech movement, the women's movement, the gay-lesbian movement. the anti-war movement, and much of the seminal documentation of the voices, the American Indian movement, Dennis Banks and Russell Means, and much of the original documentation rests in Pacifica's vaults. I'm just curious if one of the things that might help raise money for the archives might be if we adopted regular events, fundraising events, at which we showcased the archives material from specific aspects of the progressive movement forward, which Pacifica really helped midwife, and or midwife, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But I'm just wondering if we couldn't take an approach like that that would provide additional educational impetus for our local stations and our audience to understand where they came from, where our society came from.
I think that's a great idea. I think with more information about programming, national programming, and how the criteria and what kind of events we do, I think there should be a relationship, again, at the station level. If you're having a community event, if we're doing something for Black History Month or Women's History Month, the archive should be there. We should send in packages to stations for those events so that they could be made available, or some promotional material at that. But certainly I think a relationship not only with the users that I've talked about, there's also the organizations that have been on the air that sort of have been there as part of those recordings that we need to have relationships with. The Sierra Club comes to mind. When we talked about the geocaching and the environmental recordings, I'm working with the Sierra Club to do a partnership on restoring materials on the environment.
Alan Minsky from KPFK.
Thanks, David. Well, first I just want to say is, you know, I obviously work underneath the archives every day, and the team that you have compiled is fantastic, and it's just a great space. If people haven't ever been by, if they have the opportunity to drop by, it's fantastic. You guys up at the archives, you didn't mention in this presentation, you've done a few DVDs that have been available as premiums to be used during the fund drive. Could you talk about what you've done there and what future plans you might be for
it? It was sort of an experiment, and I have to say it's not really that successful because it really isn't fleshed out. It really was sort of filling in where stringers were to gather information or gather recordings from all over for premium development. That was part of the National Programming Unit or the Pacific Network News Unit. I can't remember. It's been that many years. So the archives has always sort of filled in when we could to record events. And we saw a lot of videotaping, and we had some people in the archives volunteering that had cameras that could go and do these things. I think Curtis is here. He's a volunteer in the Pacifica Radio Archives, so he's aware of what we've been doing with DVD production. We do have the equipment to duplicate and make available DVDs, but I really think that the costs and the labor that it takes to sort of edit it and make it appropriate for the stations to pitch was a little bit too much that we could invest in.
We're about at time, and we need to go to public comment in about 2 minutes. Is there one last comment from the board before we do that? If not, has the sign-up sheet gone around for public comment?
Anybody else want to sign up?
Thank you, Board of Directors.
Setting up a public comment, I just want to make a quick announcement that KPFK has set up an internet cafe over here, so feel free. You can log on to the internet, and you can also print out if you need to. Also, for those board members who are new and have never been to KPFK and wish to go visit, we're going to have to squeeze it in somewhere. So please see, where did Eva go? Anyway, Eva. Please see Eva Georgia. Our general manager, and we'll work something out for, because several people have mentioned that. So let's work it out tonight for the next couple of days. Thank you.
Mansoor, how much time is on? How many people are on the list?
So far, 6 people.
Okay, so is there likely to be more than another 9 people who want to go to it? Because if not, we can.
No, I can fill it up.
Let Debo just fill it up.
Yes, I'll do that.
But no, failing that, I think we'll allot 2 minutes per speaker. And would somebody be willing to be timekeeper and hold up a sign that says 30 seconds when they have 30 seconds left, and be willing to say softly done when they're, or time when they're at 2 minutes?
So
Deb will do that. So whoever's speaking, when Deb puts up that sign, she means you have 30 seconds left. And when she says time, if you could finish up the idea, we'd appreciate it. Debo Kotun?
Debo Kotun from KPFK. Does compliments count as time spent? Because I want to thank...
It depends.
Brian has been...
if we like it.
Yes, Brian has been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that's right.
The presentation was fantastic, but let me tell you a personal story between me and Brian. I came to the station, KPFK, a year ago, and I ran into Martin Sheen, and I said, you are the man that I'm looking for. And he said, what, for what? I said, I want you to play Lou Hill in a radio drama that I've written. Brian was there, and he came to me and said, Debo,
Pacifica Radio, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, brings you the stories of Katrina survivors who have relocated to California. From the Gulf Coast to the West Coast, Katrina Before and After explores the underlying humanity beneath news reports and images of the personal stories of families, individuals, children, and elders whose life experiences were deeply impacted by Katrina.
There are moments that I'm still sad, but overall my health is pretty good, but psychologically I'm affected by Katrina.
It's a story of resilience, it's a story of hope, and it's a story of a people and the state coming to the aid of their fellow citizens. Katrina Before and After is a story that must be told and must be kept alive.
Thank you. Now, we segue into that without really being synchronized. That's a totally different story. We got a grant from the California Council for the Humanities to do the stories of Katrina survivors who have relocated to California.
You just heard that you got that grant.
We got the grant in February. We're supposed to spend a whole year to do this program, and I finished it in a month. And now we're going after NEH for a bigger grant to do the history of New Orleans vis-a-vis Levis and the people. So there are incredible human beings in this organization, in this family that we call the extended family of humanities. The question to you guys is, when are we going to have a national program director that's going to coordinate everything? Because we have fantastic programs. 2 years ago, I had 4 Nobel laureates on my show at the same time, interviewed them when Wangari Maathai won the Nobel Prize for Peace. It was supposed to be a national program. We didn't have it. This program is going to be a national program. We have a whole lot of other programs that need to be national. When and how can we get the modalities in place so that we can have fantastic programs that everybody all over the country can listen to simulcast? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Fred Atkinson? It'll be Fred, then Jose Santiago, then Kathy Davis.
Good evening, everyone. This really is like a working class board. I really feel comfortable in this setting as opposed to, Dearborn, Michigan, General Motors. Okay. My name is Fred Atkinson. First of all, I want to say that the local station, KPFK, is doing a wonderful job in terms of putting out the message. I'm sure you already are aware of that, and each of your respective stations are doing that. And secondly, I just happened to bring three sources of information for common identification. Here's the New York Times today. Notice there's something about Iraq. A major general coddling an Iraqi, very sympathetic in picture. We know that's not the true picture of what's going on there. Secondly, here's the Los Angeles Times. Under its new Tribune Broadcasting, two totally different stories. Okay. This one, LA Times, except for the sports and the racing recaps, I can do without it. The New York Times, national coverage. I watch it. I pick it up. It's a dollar. I would like to have it. Here's a bumper sticker. I can't do without it. Okay? I can't do without it. We have to support. We as listeners, supporters, have to support the Pacifica Foundation. To you. My first question is, what, if any, linkages are being thought about in terms of collaborative efforts between perhaps C-SPAN, NPR? There was something about NPR support in what David said, but I'm wondering, in terms of the board's thinking, are there anything in terms of linkages, collaborations that is being planned? And coupling that with the final questions in terms of strategies. We have a new America in the making. Tomorrow is going to be a historic nationwide demonstration. Barbara Boxer, she was on TV. She was totally off guard. My question then is, but the Republicans are united. Please share, if you can, some of your strategies for the movement ahead. Thank you.
Jose Santiago, Kathy Davis, and Israel Foyer.
I'd like to say a lot of things, but I don't think there's enough time for it. I'd like to say a lot of things. I don't think there's enough time for it, but I hope in the next session I'll be able to share some of my personal thoughts on some issues at WBAI that I really hope that the National Board would pay attention to. But I promised a newly formed group at the station that's called the WBAI Latino Coalition. And they had a meeting at the station about maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was about 40 people and included many people, including union organizers from various very powerful unions and influential unions in the New York City area who are concerned and are coming to support some of the Latino producers who feel that a lot of things that were not quite kosher have happened to their programming. I have copies of the materials that they gave me to share with the board members, and I'd like to just pass those out. Mm. It includes a statement, which unfortunately I think is a little bit too long to read in the time that I have, but it also includes letters from some elected officials in the New York City area who are expressing concern about Latino programming at the station, a letter from a person who is involved with the National Hispanic Media Coalition. In fact, she's the executive director of the New York City or New York chapter of that organization, who has also, I think, written to Mr. Guma expressing her concern. And they're very concerned about both the fact that they feel that there should be more Latino programming. They also feel that there is kind of a history of all kinds of games that get played when Latinos have come together to work and advocate for programming, including a collective of Latinos who met for like a year and a half developed programming, had discussions with the former executive director, the former general manager of the station, were promised that they would be involved in programming, and then other group was swept in and was given programs, leaving like all these folks, influential people in the Latino community in New York, standing there saying, "What happened to us?" They're feeling that it's happening again. And I hope you read this, and I hope you take this seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Davis, Israel Foyer, Myla Reeson.
Thank you. For those who don't know me, I'm the Public Affairs Director at WBAI Radio. And the issue that I wanted to address today was about the confusion, at least in my mind, and perhaps throughout Pacifica, on whether or not we have a gag rule, whether or not producers are able to discuss issues on the air, what issues they can discuss on the air, whether or not producers should be removed or denied access to the air because of their speaking out. So I do also have some material that I wanted to pass out as a reminder, and one of them is a copy of the January 2nd letter sent to the Honorable Ronald M. Sabro, in which the Pacifica board talks about a resolution withdrawing the gag rule, saying that there would be no gag rule at Pacifica. And I also am passing out an article that is written here. Well, it's an audio of an interview by Matthew Lazar, in which he talks about the gag rule and how it is used selectively. And he's speaking, going back to the firing of Dan Coughlin for some issue with the news. And my reason for bringing this up is simply is that we have some issues in New York that are concerning the gag rule. One is concerning Gary Null, and the other is concerning Robert Knight. And I feel that both of these issues have not been dealt with, certainly not by this board. Memos and as well as complaints have been sent to the former executive director, to all the members of this board. And nothing is ever done about it. And then producers are not allowed to speak on the air. And there's no forum for the resolution of problems, grievances, and differences. And I think that this really needs to be addressed and determined how we move forward.
Thank you.